Welcome to episode 29 of Kyperion Commentary Podcast. It's a delight to be back. I'm your host, Yuri Brito. And today I have with me Dr. Tim LaCroix. Tim is an adjunct professor at Covenant Theological Seminary. Well, wonderful to have you here on the show with us. Tim, As I often do, I peruse through the Theopolis website because there are so many helpful articles. The most recent one published at Theopolis, written by you, is entitled Infant Baptism in the History of the Church. And here's my first reaction. Immediately, I thought of how strange the title of your piece in the modern evangelical milieu, because so much of modern evangelicalism is historically naive. You know, we're saturated with a kind of proof texting culture that many reading the title of your article immediately will reply, you know, what's history got to do with it? So before we talk a little bit about the article you wrote, tell me why history is important to the process of interpretation, if you will.
Well, that's a big question. I think with regard to this specific item of infant baptism, it could be a helpful way for us to walk through that. We have, of course, the Word of God, the Westminster Confession, if you subscribe to that. But many other of the Reformed confessions say something similar. The Word of God is the supreme judge of all matters of religious question or controversy, however it words it. So yes, the Word of God is the highest judge, and for Christians to determine their doctrine. But what if we are uncertain about what the Word of God says? What if Christians disagree about something, and they both have biblical arguments, and they can't come to an agreement? The history of the church can be a way to weigh in on disagreements, to say, look, this is the way God's people have always done this. And I think that's important because the Bible says it's important. Jesus talks about the unity of the church being very important. Paul talks about the same thing. If the unity of the church is important, then keeping step with the church is also important. And so that's why church history, especially the history of doctrine and practice, is important for how we do our church theology and practice.
Thank you for that. This is obviously the kind of debate that has gone on for centuries, and I don't think it's hard to summarize it very briefly here. But historically, there is a certain preeminence of the infant baptism thought, which I think in your language sort of breaks the tie, because we can spend all our time sort of throwing verses at each other and theological arguments at each other. But why does the historical argument for infant baptism break that tie?
Well, I would argue that it's because the church universally practiced infant baptism. Even if you were to say that the church didn't practice infant baptism until the 4th or 5th century, the church had the uniform and universal practice of the church for over 1,000 years was infant baptism. And so if we are going to say that the church was completely wrong about that for 1,000 years, then that's a big statement about God, his providence, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. So I think we have to just come to terms with what we are saying if we are saying that the church was absolutely wrong about this for 1,000 years. But what I'm trying to say also is if we take a look further back, we'll see that the church, in fact, did practice infant baptism all the way into its earliest days. And even though there was a practice of delaying baptism, which I talk about in my article, it was not for the reasons that Credo Baptists baptize adults today. So what I was trying to say is there is no evidence for the modern theology of Credo Baptism. There's no evidence for it before the 17th century.
So differentiate, just for our listeners here, differentiate what modern Credo Baptists believe and what the adult baptism practice in the early part of history held.
Yeah, that's good. So modern Baptists, and I grew up a Pentecostal, which was a Credo Baptist denomination. So I lived this for the first 20 years of my life, basically. Credo Baptists will believe that you should only baptize a person who has a credible and conscious profession of faith, right? So upon the profession of faith, that person should be baptized. That's modern Baptist doctrine. The early church did not have any such doctrine. The reason why baptism was delayed in the early church was because they believed, first of all, that when you were baptized, all your previous sins were washed away. And second, they also believed that there was no possibility of forgiveness if you sinned intentionally after your baptism. So this is the reason why in the early church, baptism was delayed. And it was delayed as by some, not by everyone, but it was delayed by some as long as possible in order that you not be have the possibility of that falling away or apostasy by intentionally committing sin after your baptism. That's completely different from the reason why Credo Baptists today would delay baptism. They would delay it until a person can credibly and consciously affirm their faith, and then they would baptize them. So those are two different theologies. It may be a similar practice of only baptizing adults, but it's two completely different theologies.
The one very helpful observation you made, Tim, was the observation that, for example, when you look at the book of Acts, a lot of Credo Baptists will point to it. See, there are no clear examples of infants being baptized, or only have adults. And then you connect that with the historical narrative, and you make the point, which I think is very helpful, is that if infant baptism was not practiced, and if there was a commitment of opposition towards infants being baptized, what you would see historically is a vast literature of antagonistic literature, correct? So in other words, there is from according to your language, there isn't much at all, if any, polemic works against infant baptism.
That's right. So I am not aware of any, and I'm willing for someone to present something, but I'm not aware of anyone who is polemically arguing specifically against the practice of infant baptism. I'm not aware of that in the early church. So someone said, because this article got posted to Facebook, and I do troll the, or I lurk, I don't troll, I lurk when people post my articles just to see what they're saying about me. So if you share my thing, I'm probably looking at what people say. I saw one of the comments was that I was arguing from silence. Well, I guess that's technically true, but it's a deafening silence. There's absolutely no argument that I'm aware of that's been presented that argues against the practice of infant baptism in the early church. So that'd be one piece of the evidence. It's just, you know, you put it all together as a historian, it's just, you put all this evidence together, and then that creates the consensus. But that's one piece of it, yeah.
It's a very important perspective from your perspective as a historian, because one of the arguments made is that there was a post-Reformation opposition to infant baptism from the Anabaptists. But again, you make the same point there, that the Anabaptists are not the modern Baptists. And is that part of the confusion? I mean, it looks like what many Credo Baptists are saying is that if there is adult baptism, therefore it's exactly what we held to. But I don't think, would you agree, I don't think the modern Baptists want to associate themselves with the Anabaptists of the post-Reformation era.
No, I think that's right. That's part of what I'm trying to argue. I think there is some confusion because, you know, we want to conflate a bunch of things. We want to conflate practice with doctrine. That's one of the things we want to conflate. And we also want to conflate the recipients of baptism with the mode of baptism. You see this done all the time. So it is true that immersion was the primary mode of baptism in the early church. I'm not going to argue against that. But immersion does not have anything to do with who gets baptized. You know, you can immerse an adult, you can immerse a baby. And so that question needs to be sort of taken away. And of course, for Baptists, that's a very important question. Modern Baptists. But yeah, I think a lot of these things often get conflated, and it's helpful if we really do make distinctions when we talk about these sorts of things.
So we have a biblical case, which we haven't talked about here, for infant baptism, but the conclusion is very simple. At least the simple conclusion that you've arrived in your studies as a historian is that infant baptism, as you write in your article, was the universal practice of the church until after the Protestant Reformation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm arguing.
Okay, so is it safe to say that Credo Baptism as a system, as held by modern Baptists today, is a relatively young movement in the history of Christendom?
Yeah, you said centuries, but it's been about, it's not even been 400 years, yeah.
Okay, only 400 years. Is this a consensus among modern Baptist historians, Tim, as you are aware of it?
I'm not sure. I would guess that those who, and I want to be careful to be as charitable as possible. I want to be careful to say that those that are careful scholars would acknowledge the facts that I'm presenting. But again, I'm not a modern historian, and this is a blog post. It's not an academically reviewed article, so I just have to admit I haven't read modern Baptist historians. So I was basically looking at this from what I know about the medieval and ancient church, and from what I know just interacting with Baptists and myself having been one for 20 years. So I'm sorry I can't answer that question. But if I were to publish something in a book or a peer-reviewed article, I would certainly make sure that I cross that T.
Fantastic. This is a very helpful article on the TheopolisInstitute.com website. You can visit the website and have access to it. We'll make sure to link it to this conversation. Tim, I appreciate you giving this summary here, and it's such an important topic that I think is generally dismissed, but the overwhelming evidence of history ought, at the very least, give the modern Baptists some pause before they make, you know, certain dogmatic assertions, right?
Yeah, so I think we don't have time to talk about this. It could be done in a future podcast, maybe. But I think the concept of Catholicity is one of the central tenets here. If Catholicity is something that is important to you, then the history of church practice and thought will also be important to you. So I guess if you are a Baptist and the question of church practice is not important to you, then this post will probably not mean much to you. But if the history of God's people and unity with God's people throughout time and space is something that it's important to you, I think the post will be helpful.
Dr. Timothy LaCroix is pastor of Christ Our King Presbyterian Church in Columbia, Missouri, and also an adjunct professor at Covenant Theological Seminary. Tim, thank you for your article, and thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. You're very welcome here.